Today the horizon is clear. The voyage starts anew. We are reborn. The true resurrection is not only from this life into the next. It takes place daily and hourly as we shed the limited concepts of life and come into the vineyard to gather the fruit of the Spirit hanging rich from the vines of God. A person may be reborn, remade, and renewed in mind and body just through taking a little time to get acquainted with his better self, just through coming to recognize the invisible and almost unknown guest who accompanies everyone through life, the spiritual presence within. We should resurrect ourselves to the joy and simplicity and spontaneity of life and leave the corpses of our dead yesterdays in the tomb of their own obscurity. We should live more abundantly in God this day. When we come out of our tomb of ignorance and disbelief, how glorious shall be the dawn. Ernest Holmes wrote that, "The Journey into Life." Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out on this beautiful, beautiful Easter Sunday. It's so great to see everyone. Today, Easter, we have the same kind of thing going on that we do at Christmas. We have a very pagan tradition. At Christmas, we had Santa Claus and all the Yule activities. And then we had the very Christian, the birth of Jesus. Well, at Easter, we have the same thing. We have the very pagan rituals of the Easter bunny and all of those traditions. And then we have the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And I submit that it is by when we embrace both of those traditions that we can get the most out of it. The concept of renewal and rejuvenation in spring has been around for a long, long, long time. It is not anything that's new to us. This idea of a rebirth or a resurrection has been around for perhaps as long as man. I'll start today. I'm going to talk first of all about the pagan backgrounds. Then I'm going to talk about early Egyptian mythology. Then I'll talk about the Christian view of Easter and the resurrection. And finally, I'll look at it all of this from a science of mind standpoint. So the pagan background, it begins with spring, hope, renewal. We see the plants that have been dormant for many, many months are now coming back to life right outside my window. The buds are coming out on the plants, and the bush that has been apparently dead for so long is springing back to life. And it brings with it hope and renewal and rebirth. The idea of our Easter really came to us from the goddess Ostara. She was a Germanic goddess who she was the goddess of the dawn, and she also had the additional responsibility to bring back the spring each year, to bring back the sun, not only at the beginning of the day, but at the springtime of the year, Ostara. And one year, legend has it, she came back late. It was very late when she got back, and some of the animals were in stress, and she was so disheartened when she found a little bird, and his little wings were frozen, and he was almost dead. And Ostara felt so sorry for this little bird that she took him, and she held him, and she poured her warmth into him, and she saved his life. And she and the little bird became very, very close friends. And she decided one day to give this little bird an extra juice of life. She gave him the ability to do a lot of different things. She transformed him into a hare, into a bunny. And as an extra thing, in homage to her, to his little bird background, his bird background, she gave him the ability to lay eggs. Not only regular eggs, but he could lay eggs of every color under the rainbow. And since he didn't have his wings anymore, she made him fast. He could elude any hunter, and he never had to worry about the winter or being cold again. She gave him a nice fur coat. Well, as all things sometimes come to an end, they had a falling out, and she got mad at her little bunny. She named him Lepus. She got mad at Lepus, and she cast him into the heavens for eternity. And to this day, we can see Lepus at the foot of Orion in the heavens. Lepus the hare is one of our constellations. Well, then she started feeling kind of guilty about that. That was because he was been a good buddy for a long time. So she did allow that Lepus could come back one day a year and distribute his colorful eggs and candy to children all over the world. And that is how we came to celebrate that portion of Easter today. But the idea of the renewal in spring was not new. That goes way back. As far as I know, it went back further than this, but the first place that I really identified this in the theological tradition was in the god Osiris in Egypt. Osiris was called the Lord of Lords. He was known as the King of Kings and also as the Good Shepherd. He was called the God who made men and women to be born again. He was called the Resurrection and the Life. He was the God-man who suffered, died, rose again, and lived eternally in heaven. Egyptians thought that by believing in Osiris, they would share eternal life with him. And Egyptian scripture reads as follows: as truly as Osiris lives, so truly shall his followers live also. The coming of Osiris was announced by three wise men. His flesh was eaten in the form of communion cakes of wheat. Only through Osiris could one obtain eternal life, they believed. The much-loved 23rd Psalm of the Bible is a modified version of an Egyptian text appealing to Osiris, the Good Shepherd, to lead the dead to green pastures and still waters, and to restore the soul to the body, and to give protection in the valley of the shadow of death. There are some who go on to make the claim that much of Christianity was borrowed from the Egyptians, and particularly from the worship of Osiris, and also to extend that to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. I personally really don't go that far, even though there are a lot of images that show Osiris in a cross position. I couldn't find anywhere where the Egyptians practiced the crucifixion of people. And I really don't think that that happened. But I do think that there is an awful lot in the Egyptian traditions that we can gain, that we can learn from, and not the least of which is this concept of renewal, rebirth in the spring. From a Christian standpoint, this time, Easter, to celebrate the life, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus. Simply stated, God sent Jesus into this world to suffer and to die for our sins. And after he died, Jesus was restored to life and will spend eternity in heaven. Christians believe that the only way for us to reach heaven is to accept Jesus as our Savior and confess all of our sins. I think that the real meaning behind much of Christianity's view of this is portrayed a little bit better today. Just earlier this day in Rome, Pope Francis gave his Easter homily, and spread throughout that, and this is really powerful, he talked about the hope that Easter brings is a lesson to the Christian faithful to cast aside hopelessness that can imprison people inside of themselves. And he went on to say, and this is the quote from his homily, "We see and will continue to see problems, both inside and out. They will always be there. Let us not allow darkness and fear to distract us and to control our hearts." Powerful words, powerful, powerful words. While I'm on the subject of the Pope, and I don't know if this story is really true or not, but the way it was related to me, Pope Francis visited the United States. And when he was here, he arrived with all of his baggage and everything else, and a chauffeur in a big limousine was sent to pick him up and take him to his destination. He arrived at the airport. So this guy arrived, and he loaded all of the Pope's luggage into this big limousine and got ready to go, and he looked back, and he saw that the Pope was standing on the edge of the curb. I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to open the door for him. So he went around, and he opened the door, and he said, would you please get in, Your Holiness? And the Pope said, listen, you know, in the Vatican, they don't let me drive, ever. I never get to drive. And he said, I'm from Argentina. Argentinas love to drive. What do you say? Would you let me drive today? And the chauffeur said, well, Your Holiness, I can't allow that. No, we can't do that. And the Pope says, come on, he says. I won't tell anybody. Nobody will know. It'll just be between you and I. Oh, no, Your Holiness, I couldn't possibly do that. Oh, come on, please, just this one time, let me drive. So he finally caved. He caved in, and he let the Pope drive. And he knew he had made a mistake, because as soon as they got out of the airport and they got on the freeway, down came the gas pedal, and off that limousine went. They're going down the freeway at over 100 miles an hour. And this poor driver in the back is scared, and he says, Your Holiness, please slow down, slow down. Kept going fast as they kept going. Your Holiness, please slow down. And just about then, bleep, 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 the lights come. Oh, no. He knew he was going to get fired. He was going to lose his job. He was going to probably lose his limousine. Oh, he was just distraught. And so the Pope pulls over, and sure enough, the policeman got out, and he walked up. And Pope rolled down the window, and he looked in. The cop looked in. He looked in the back. Didn't say a word. He turned around, and he walked back to his squad car. He got on the microphone. He says, you got to put me through to the chief. What do you need? What do you need? So next thing, chief's on the phone. He says, I've just pulled over a limo going down the freeway at over 100 miles an hour. And the chief says, well, bust him. Write him a ticket. But you see, chief, there's somebody in there really important. Well, that's all the better. Write him a ticket. But I mean really important. Well, how important? Is it the mayor? Bigger. Whoa. Is it a senator? Bigger. Whoa, is it the president of the United States? Bigger. Who is it then? Tell me, who could be so important? He's, I think it's God. Why do you think it's God? He says, well, the first thing is, his driver is the Pope. In the science of mind, we believe that we are continuously being resurrected and reborn. It is by dying to the old that we can be born again to the new. We can let go of our stories and put down the cross that so many of us have been carrying for so long. We can let go of that which binds us. We can throw away the cross of addiction. We can see beyond illness and debt. We can walk away from the lousy relationship and the dead-end job. We can overcome procrastination and self-condemnation and embrace the truth of our own divinity. We are not rewarded with heaven. We experience heaven right here and now to the degree that we are able to accept it. We do not fear sin, for we know that the sin is nothing more than a mistake, and we are not punished for our mistakes. Rather, we are punished by our mistakes. But with this responsibility for our choices, we are accountable. We can no longer say, the devil made me do it. We're the ones that are making the bad choices. We are the ones that have made it. And we are the ones that are responsible for changing it. But the good news is we can continuously do that because we are continuously being reborn. We can step away from the addiction, from the debt, from all of the other things that we place ourselves into. We can continually reinvent ourselves through the power of our mind. We absolutely believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we believe that we are all children of God. We absolutely believe in the resurrection of Jesus, and we believe in the resurrection of each and every one of us every day. How many of you ever heard of Ronda Rousey? Okay, a few people have heard of Ronda Rousey. She is a... I don't even know what it's called. I don't follow this. Mixed martial arts. Okay, she's a fighter. She's a female who fights. And, oh yeah, these chicks get with it. And she was the rising star of her profession. She beat up everybody. And she did it in record time. I don't think she ever had a bout last, even past the first round. And she was like 10-0, and she was the world champion in her weight class and everything else. And then last fall, she got knocked out, cold as a cucumber. And she kind of went into seclusion for several months. She's back out now, and she's training again. She is getting back into it. And I think she still has a lot of endorsements, not what she had before. But she was invited last week to speak to the Reebok Inspirational Women's Luncheon. And this is what Ronda Rousey had to say at that luncheon. When it comes to challenges, I honestly believe that things happen for a reason. At the time, yes, it is hard on a personal and emotional level. And it is hard to look past what is happening to the future. But you have to believe in yourself, because down the line in 2, 5, 10 years' time, you will look back and know that that was actually the best thing that ever happened to you. It was quite a revelation for somebody that had so much pride and then to be defeated and realize that maybe getting beat was the best thing that ever happened to her. What I want everyone to take away today, the conclusion, is that each of us is reborn and resurrected every day in our lives. We all make mistakes. We all suffer. But we have within us the power to connect to something greater than we are and to transcend our earthly bonds. We can move beyond the cross to a greater expression of life. I'm going to return to Ernest Holmes and his journey into life. Today the horizon is clear and the voyage starts anew. We are reborn. The true resurrection is not only from this life into the next. It takes place daily and hourly as we shed the limited concepts of life and come into the vineyard to gather the fruit of the Spirit hanging rich from the vines of God. A person may be reborn, remade, and renewed in mind and body just through taking a little time to get acquainted with his better self, just through coming to recognize the invisible and almost unknown guest who accompanies everyone through life, the spiritual presence within. We should resurrect ourselves to the joy and simplicity and spontaneity of life and leave the corpses of our dead yesterdays in the tomb of their own obscurity. We should live more abundantly in God this day. When we come out of our tomb of ignorance and disbelief, how glorious shall be the dawn.